always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, Veterans Day at Arlington National Cemetery. President Biden laying a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier there today. We're hearing from the man President-elect Trump has picked to be his border czar.
This is the biggest national security vulnerability this nation has seen since 9/11. We have to fix it.
Tom Homan on Fox News is a former director of ICE. New York Republican Elise Stefanik, one of Trump's congressional allies, has been chosen as U.N. ambassador. Stephen Miller will be deputy chief of staff for policy. CBS's Elise Preston has the latest on that Southern California wildfire northwest of L.A.
Firefighters have gained ground on the massive mountain fire. Many residents who were forced to quickly flee on Wednesday are now returning to find their homes reduced to rubble.
Fires in New York and New Jersey are blamed for at least one death. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
More good news for you. Community Stories Junior starts November 14th. It'll air on WFHR on Thursdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. It's Veterans Day, and there will be ceremonies in Wisconsin Rapids today to honor veterans. VFW Post Commander Sean Plant said there are two events during the morning today.
We're having the Southwood County Allied Veterans Council is doing their annual Veterans Day ceremony. It's 11 o'clock at Veterans Park on the east side of the river in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mayor Matt Zacher will be the guest speaker at that event. At 1 p.m. today, there will be another event at Assumption High School.
The Wood County Legacy Society is doing their Legacy Stone dedication ceremony at Assumption High School, again at 1 o'clock.
Veterans Day is observed on November 11th in the U.S. and several other countries. It is a day to thank and honor all veterans who serve honorably in the military. Veterans Day is a day to not only honor veterans, but also acknowledge the difficulties they face after service. Here's Lisa Hale.
PTSD, suicide, mental health, all of these are issues facing the veteran population this Veterans Day. Tim Cody with the Fox Valley Veterans Council in Appleton said homelessness is also a primary concern.
We find them hopefully before they're homeless, as our real goal is to try to keep them in their place for 2 to 3 months so that they can straighten their life out, get a direction to go. And keep them where they are.
Cody said statistically in Wisconsin, there are more homeless veterans than regular citizens.
The Mid-State Technical College campus in Stevens Point now has a new name. The ribbon cutting took place last Thursday for the Stevens Point downtown campus. This event also kicks off the beginning of a year-long celebration of the 10th anniversary of the move to downtown. The new name helps differentiate the downtown campus from the new Ameta Center campus location. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Wisconsin wins at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers with an 87-56 win over Appalachian State. The Mountaineers jumped out to an early lead. Before Wisconsin took over, head coach Greg Gard.
The stretch in the first half of 15 straight possessions with stops. I think it's just guys gain confidence with it. I think we've become more physical and more aggressive. The fact that they're getting better connected with new guys. But the defensive end, I thought we finally started to put some things together like we've been talking about. And we'd shown in flashes, but not consistently over a stretch of time, so that's a good sign going forward.
NBA, the Bucks are at home tomorrow night against the Toronto Raptors. Milwaukee now 2-8 after losing yesterday to the Celtics, 113-107. Damian Lillard.
You want to win, especially a situation that we're in where you want to win games, you want to protect your home floor. We came out, you know, we had control of the game. Just got to be able to sustain what we were doing and understand what we did well, not have lapses and let-ups and give teams life.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We've got a cold front dropping through the state today that's whipping our winds up feisty, gusting around 40 miles per hour. With more clouds than sunshine and crashing temperatures throughout the afternoon, we've got to slap a 10-degree wind chill on top of the cooler temps. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend happenings and talk about Veterans Day 2024. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. We have a busy hour coming up for you. The domes are back in the news.
What?
The Mitchell Park Domes in Milwaukee. There's a plan to save them.
Okay.
We'll kick that around in a little bit. After the 11:30 news, blue skies, baby.
Nothing but blue skies.
Nothing but blue skies. A lot of people heading over, leaving that one platform and joining another platform. I did that yesterday.
Oh.
I know. For me, that was, I felt brave.
I may have followed.
Oh. We'll talk about the migration from one social media platform to another. Coming up after the 11:30 news, we'll wrap up the hour, of course, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, the Volatile Odor Edition.
I feel like we should say it like, volatile odor.
You can do that. I like that. We're going to start off, though, of course, it is Veterans Day.
Correct, yeah.
If you are a veteran, you have a veteran in your life, please thank them for us.
Yeah.
Thank them for their service. It's an important day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I found this article in Stars and Stripes yesterday, and you can find it at stripes.com, but we'll put this in our show notes as well. Volunteers needed to help uncover the personal stories of America's first veterans. So there are thousands and thousands of documents. There's about 100,000 documents, 2.4 million pages in files, and the government would like more volunteers to help them transcribe these old documents, which are in cursive, and not everybody can read cursive anymore, and help preserve the stories. These are America's first veterans who fought in the Revolutionary War. So the goal is to finish this all in time for the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence in 2026.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So right now they've got about 4,700 volunteers who are tackling this, but they need more.
So you have to be able to read the handwriting.
You have to be able to read cursive.
Which isn't, okay, two things. Reading cursive, not that tough. Calvin, can you read cursive?
Yes. Okay. I will say, like, if you or myself or Jane or my mom wrote in cursive, I could read it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, the Declaration of Independence.
It's tiny.
Would be a little difficult.
And they used different letters back then. Some letters meant like, I believe the letter F could stand for S, if I'm not mistaken. Like the way that letters just look. So it's not just about being able to read handwritings, but it's also knowing
what they mean.
There's a certain amount of translation. And the reason, Calvin, I asked you as our resident young person is that I'm in charge of writing the list every week for the Laughs on Tap open mic. I'll make this connect. And I handwrite it out. And I always wrote it in cursive because that's my go-to way of writing.
Right.
Print on purpose. I cursive on purpose. For weeks, a couple weeks in a row, we had younger people in their mid-20s and younger who were hosting, whose job was to read my handwriting and say their name.
I can't write in cursive anymore.
Because they can't read
They can't read my handwriting, not because of the penmanship, because they don't know how to read cursive. So I guess the question is, will you get like a crash course on understanding 18th century handwriting to give them the proper, or if it's like, here's what I've got, then someone way smarter than me goes, I see what you did there. I'll take it and I'll clean it up.
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
I'd love to do that.
Suzanne Isaacs and Nancy Sullivan are overseeing the project for the National Archives. She says, if anyone has the opportunity to really sit down and read some of these, you're going to get sucked in.
Yeah.
Some of these have really great stories and they tell wonderful stories think about this, without formal discharge papers, mm-hmm. most veterans had to try to prove their service mm-hmm. by describing what they went through. So many of these are filled with anecdotes that paint a portrait of what it was like for the colonial military service. Jacob Hickman's file, for example, shows he'd go home every other week to tend his crops. Andrew Gillespie volunteered with a horse from his uncle and carried dispatches from his officer to the printing office. Philip Morris detailed a battle in Rhode Island where troops had to fire chains from a cannon when they ran out of cannonballs.
Oh my goodness.
The more than 83,000 pension files were stored within the War Department, now the Defense Department, for decades before making it to the National Archives. In the 70s, those files were scanned onto microfilm that was later digitized. But the original documents are more than 200 years old.
I mean, think about that. These young men, and because they were men, soldiers,
yes.
Writing back home to their families and their chief, they just wanted to live in a free country. Like they wanted to shake off the reign of a king.
Right.
And they just wanted to live free and tend to their crops. And live their life. That's the stuff that makes me get all like, you know, teary eyed when I think about America, when I think of those regular common folks who all they were doing was trying to serve a greater good. That's amazing to me.
Historians and genealogists often use these records to learn more about who took part in the battles.
Yeah.
And certain groups like the Sons and Daughters of the American Revolution can use those to prove their ancestors' service. The veterans at the time also had to prove they were in financial need of a pension. So some of the documents actually include their lists of all their household goods, their values, and the number of children that they had to support.
So this country has a real good history of making it really difficult for veterans. My goodness. It
goes back a long yeah. history of this. Apparently, tragically, we have a long history of this.
Yeah.
National Park Service recently began pitching the project to its pool of volunteers, again, hoping to get some of these personal stories in the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence and the early battles of the Revolutionary War. This is a great opportunity to tell a more complete and comprehensive American story as related to the American Revolution, according to Frank Barrows, senior advisor for the National Park Service. They provide windows into the lives of our first veterans and families from a first-person perspective. That's like the Ken Burns series.
Yeah.
Which was so good.
Heavy, though.
It was. It was very heavy, but the letters mm-hmm. told that whole story.
Oh, my gosh. The Civil War letters. No matter what show you're watching, even like the baseball letters, you just like, they speak in a different manner. They have the passion they have for whatever they're doing is undaunted. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. All these records are available online, so volunteers can transcribe them from home.
Yeah.
And if you can't read cursive, tagging the documents to make them easier to search is just important.
I don't know what that means, but
if you read enough of these, you'll realize there's an inconsistency with spelling. So by people tagging the correct spelling and the way we would like it tagged, then we're able to find all these records. If you decide to volunteer for this through the National Park Service, you can get a volunteer pass that will give you free access to all parks once you contribute 250 hours.
Oh, my goodness. That's cool,
but
too.
I can see where you would get really deeply into if you're into history.
Yeah.
This would be right up your alley.
I wonder if she talked. Well, my nephew can't. He's 19. He can't.
He won't be able to read cursive.
He loves this stuff, though. This is just fascinating.
And isn't it?
It makes me think of something. And I for those listening, I apologize for making this political on a modern scale. And I've talked about this before. What we're discussing here, the letters of these young soldiers, these farmers, they're not even like soldiers at that point. They're right. Farmers who are just trying to help their
country,
colonies.
Yeah, their colonies.
Rebel against a king, committing treason to be free. And anybody in this country who calls himself an American who says we shouldn't help Ukraine. I know, I apologize for making what I'm doing right now, but I think about this more times than I care to admit. Here is a country who was free, and all they want is their freedom, and it's being encroached upon by a man who wants to control them. There shouldn't be a bigger directive on our foreign policy plate than to help Ukraine secure victory, secure freedom, and make sure that nobody comes in and tries to take that from them. Because that's what we fought and died for many times. That is... Sorry. I'm very, very nervous on what's going to happen to Ukraine in the coming months and years.
Well, and I don't just disagree with you. And I think there are a lot of people who share your concern about that. I do take a little solace after our conversation we just had with Matt Randolph.
Yeah.
That there are still adults in the room who understand how destabilizing that would be, not just for the U.S., but for the global world order, if we allow Vladimir Putin just to roll into Ukraine and take it over.
I hope they stay in the room.
There's that.
So, but this is an amazing project.
It is an amazing project. And we are going to put all the links in our show notes. So if you're interested, you can volunteer for the project. There's a website that you can go to, and it's called the Revolutionary War Pension Files. So I just think it would be a fascinating way to spend a couple of hours a day and do some transcribing from home.
Put your phone down. Don't doom scroll. Scroll history.
It's a message directly to me.
I mean, Jane, you might be home alone doing it. We're all home alone doing it. So
home alone, doom scrolling.
Worst sequel.
Also, we have a great story on our civic media website as well called A Wisconsin Father's Mission to Reunite Military Families. Larry Jackson started the Ben Jackson Foundation to help young service members ease the cost of traveling home after his own personal loss. So this is for service men and women overseas. Maybe they have an elderly relative who has died and they'd like to get home for the funeral. They help them cover those funds.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. So we have that on our civic media website. Go to civicmedia.us. Another really great piece from Terry Barr. All right. Stay with us. When we return, there's a plan. Again, for the Milwaukee Mitchell Park Domes.
Not just a concept?
It's a plan. we'll discuss next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane said.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Join David Farnborough on Realty Radio on WFHR for the latest insights on housing market shifts and strategies to overcome today's challenges. As a dedicated realtor serving central Wisconsin, David blends traditional service with modern technology to enhance your experience. Discover the essence of fair housing from someone genuinely committed to helping you reach your real estate goals. Tune in. Empower yourself with expert real estate knowledge. Tune in to WFHR every second Tuesday of the month at 4:30 for Realty Radio.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Badger fans, the final home matchup at Camp Randall Stadium is just around the corner, and it's a big one. This Black Friday, Badger football takes on Minnesota in a battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. Great tickets remain for the border battle matchup, but they're going fast. Don't miss out on your chance to be in the stands. Secure your seats for November 29th. For more information and to get your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Don't wait. Get your spot today.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, people are leaving that platform and going to another. I did yesterday.
Are you leaving Twitter?
I don't think I will leave it completely just because I still find it useful. But, well, we'll talk about that more after the 11:30 news.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm looking at the wrong part of the schedule.
If you are migrating over to another social media platform where the skies are blue, we'll be talking about that coming up after the 11:30 news. We did mention, though, that, yes, there is a plan, once again, to repair Milwaukee's Mitchell Park domes. This is from WPR, Evan Casey. With the story today, a $134 million plan to renovate the Mitchell Park domes just got a boost from the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. They unanimously approved a budget amendment last week to allocate $30 million that would renovate the domes and add amenities to the historic landmark. That still gives them a pretty big chunk of change they got to raise.
$101
million. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And hopefully they will. The domes are an interesting topic for my friends. I personally love the domes. I think they're great. Yep. I think they should be renovated. I don't think they should be gotten rid of. I have friends, and they're not like penny pinching fiscal conservative Republicans either. I have some of the most liberal friends like, get rid of them.
Tear them down.
And their anger always exceeds their point to make me think, oh, maybe you're coming with good. They're just so mad about it. I don't understand truly. I think the Mitchell domes are amazing, and I'd love to see this refurbish go through, especially if you're talking about new amenities. Can you imagine what they would do? I've heard them say they would have it'd be like more smooth panel windows, like kind of a refresh design on them, along with other things, like maybe just food court, a cool like food truck park.
While they're talking about expanding the gift shop.
Yeah.
And doing some other things, and also for the grounds itself, because that's a big piece of property.
It's huge.
It really is. Yeah. I used to live in a flat right across the street from there. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really large piece of property. So the Friends of the Domes in September presented their plan. It would add a new cafe, add a nature learning center, which is a great idea. I can't believe they haven't done that before now. An outdoor garden, expand the gift shop, and renovate nearby Mitchell Park.
Yes.
Which is, it's huge.
Mitchell Park is a park that we do not talk about a lot, I think, because it's on a weird part of the city. It's like off the free, like you see the domes and you're quote unquote, so close to the lake, it's not one you think about. You don't think about Mitchell Park that much.
As a park.
Yeah.
Right. You associate the domes with it, but not necessarily all the parkland associated with it. Yeah. I just have a lot of fond childhood memories of the domes.
Yeah.
That was something we always did as a family. But again, I grew up in Hartford as a Milwaukee, city of Milwaukee resident.
Yeah.
When's the last time I can't tell you the last time. Well, no, some girlfriends and I went last year.
See, there you go.
We did. It had been a long time since we'd been.
Jane Matt and Air, friend of the domes. You also can buy plants there. They have a plant shop.
I bet they have a great plant shop.
Last time I went there with some friends, my friend walked away with like five plants. Like little ones. You can take like succulents and whatnot. It's not like designer or boutique, but you can go there and buy plants. And that's good for the local economy.
Well, and they've hosted all kinds of great things, too. I went to a big toy train exhibition.
Please, they do concerts there, too.
It was huge.
Yeah.
They used to do, certainly, weddings.
Yes.
I would imagine that's still a pretty big thing.
It's very expensive.
Is it expensive?
Oh, yeah.
But again, they've been, the maintenance has been deferred for so long. Yeah. So many things in Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott Walker. And others.
Boom.
It's not just him, but there were others where nothing got fixed for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hearing a plan to fix /save/destroy the domes for like a decade now.
Oh,
and then it went away. And I'm like, oh, I guess we're not doing anything with them now. So, I mean, if they can raise $101 million, I mean, there's a guy who bought a whole social media platform for a few billion. I'm sure he could.
I'm sure he's really concerned about things like that.
One of the inside of the domes, we could just make it look like Mars.
That could work.
Yes.
Actually, that could work. The Friends Group says it will fund the project through a combination of federal and state tax credits, a capital campaign, private donations, and federal and state grants. But getting the county support, again, that $30 million, was a key part of moving forward. We've heard from various entities they wouldn't be willing to go forth with this if they didn't have a county commitment.
No, you got to, I mean, unless you want to sell that part of the land off to someone private or to a group, or like a private equity group, which I don't suggest doing because they would just destroy it. You have to have municipal buy-in. You have to have the local government buying into it or else you got nothing there. It's just not the same. The domes would look different if it was the, you know, Dan and Stan quality polling and taxidermy domes, you know, it would just look different.
Yeah, that would certainly change the makeup of the domes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would like to see them get saved. I would like to see them get utilized. And I would just encourage folks, if you do live in the area, go visit them.
If you got a niece or a nephew or a small kid or a grandkid, take them there. It's
especially as the weather gets colder.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, it's a couple hours. And in Christmas time.
Yeah. Christmas is a great time to go to the domes.
Yes. Big fan of the domes.
All right. We're pushing for the domes.
We're pro dome.
Go domes, go.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll keep you posted on that. We have news coming up next. And then, have you been migrating from one social media platform to another? We want to hear from you. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
All I've been inside.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The West Grand Avenue Quick Trip may soon have their pumps open again. The entire gas pump area has been under construction with the installation of new gas pumps for both regular unleaded gasoline and diesel. The fencing may come down as soon as this week, and the pumps will be back up and running. We're in the middle of a mental health crisis among young people. Often, trauma can be linked to mental health struggles. New numbers show a majority of kids are experiencing trauma by the time they're 18. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
3 out of every 4 high school students across the country say they've experienced at least one adverse childhood event. That's according to new data from the CDC. Now, these events can include abuse, experiencing homelessness, and parental separation. Research shows that adverse childhood experiences, they abbreviate them as ACEs, can alter a child's brain chemistry. It can even produce a prolonged, sometimes lifelong, toxic stress response. Licensed psychologist Joe Barjone says we see the same thing here in Wisconsin.
That increased sense of loneliness, isolation in our youth, increased levels of suicide ideation, exposure to violence, exposure to adverse childhood experiences.
Experiencing at least one ACE as a child is linked to having alcohol and substance use problems as an adult, as well as chronic diseases like diabetes and obesity. And childhood trauma is expensive. According to the National Governors Association, adults with ACEs can lead to billions of dollars in healthcare costs and lost productivity. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has its Trauma Sensitive Schools Initiative, which helps educators support kids who have had these experiences.
The 3rd annual Caregiver Roadmap Resource Event takes place on Tuesday, November 12th at the ADRC in Stevens Point from 9 to 3:30. You'll need to register by calling 715-346-1401. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're a Star Wars fan, prepare to go into a lather. There is a new trilogy in the works from Lucasfilm. Writer-producer Simon Kinberg will write, produce, and develop the 3 new Star Wars films. It's been 5 years since we saw The Rise of Skywalker, which was the most recent Star Wars film in theaters. Since then, Lucasfilm brought us 3 shows in the Mandalorian world, including The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, and the upcoming Skeleton Crew. They also launched shows The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor. Simon Kinberg is known for his writing and producing skills for several X-Men films and 2016's Deadpool. Variety reports the new trilogy is in the early stages of development, so there are no story details just yet. There has also been no announcement on when production might start. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We've got a cold front dropping through the state today that's whipping our winds up feisty, gusting around 40 miles per hour. With more clouds than sunshine and crashing temperatures throughout the afternoon, we've got to slap a 10-degree wind chill on top of the cooler temps. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, is in the host chair for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
some kind of star. Just who do you think you are? Take it like a man, baby, if that's what you are, cause I'm moving on.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Park, a radio park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the end of the show, we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Volatile Odor Edition.
Volatile Odor.
Edition, yes. And thank you, Andrew, by the way. If you have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Our friend Andrew from Maine sent us a great This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We'll do it tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. That's what I thought.
Yeah, okay. We'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, yep. So thank you for that, Andrew. And again, if you stumble over some article that you think would qualify for Tisbat, absolutely send it in.
Or anything.
Anything.
Anything you think we should be covering, people we should be talking to, stories, that kind of thing, you can email that janesays@civicmedia.us.
Absolutely. Wanted to talk a little bit about this, and I'd love to hear from you if you have been migrating from Twitter. I saw a lot of people over the weekend saying, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done here. Elon did enough damage, and I don't want him to, I just don't want to be here. And so a lot of people that I follow have migrated over to Blue Sky.
Yeah. Yeah. I have seen that as well. Celebrities and non-celebrities alike, just, they're like.
There's a lot of historians that I follow, and a lot of historians, some authors, news outlets, things like that, that I follow on Twitter. But if they're going to be on a different platform that is maybe moderated a little bit better, because Elon doesn't, nobody moderates anything on Twitter anymore. That's why there's so much hateful, horrible stuff going around.
Their algorithm is insanity.
Yeah. If you follow the For You, it's people you've never followed before, never heard of before. Yeah. It's just in the, how long has he owned it?
Less than a year, I think.
Is it less than
2 years? Galvin, do you know how long Elon's own Twitter?
I want to say he bought it in 2022. I'll look it up.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's done an awful lot of damage. I thought it was longer than just a year.
Yeah, because when he first bought it, which, by the way, he didn't really want it, and then he put himself in a position where he had to buy it for $44 billion when the whole thing was worth like $5 or $7 billion. But don't forget, be rich.
He'll always be rich.
And it was fine, quote unquote, fine for a little while. And then as soon as Elon took over and got a little more into the business, all of a sudden these people who were banned, the Dan Bonginos and Andrew Tates and Donald Trumps, were all let back onto that site to spread their vitriolic anti-woman, anti-immigrant, anti-everything poison.
Yeah, at least from what I've seen on Blue Sky, and I just signed up yesterday. I just got on there yesterday. It certainly seems to be a gentler place to be, which I think a lot of folks are looking for. Yeah. Tiffany from River Falls, listening on WLAK in Amory.
Amory.
Tiffany says, I deactivated Facebook November 6th because I couldn't handle the negative attitudes of so many. It may be temporary, it may not. I still have Instagram, which I have much more selective, where I have a more selective friends list. Should I join Threads or another platform to help keep in touch with advocacy and action? What I found, Tiffany, when I went to Blue Sky yesterday was people are putting together starter packs for new people on Blue Sky. So they have a list of recommended people for you to follow.
That's great.
It really is great. And so a lot of the folks that I follow on Twitter, I'm finding now on Blue Sky.
I have to, I don't know what to, my social media, Facebook is fine. No one who disagrees with me isn't there, but people know who I am. So if I say something on there about my opinion, they just leave me alone because they know that I'm not going to handle them well on social media because I'm going to be honest with them.
Right.
I'll tell them, yesterday I posted on Facebook, I said, if you believe your body, my choice is a mantra or even remotely funny, block me right now. I never want to see that on you. I will block you immediately. Period.
For folks who don't know what that is,
yeah,
this is going around. We can thank Nick Fuentes for this.
A admitted white supremacist.
Yes, admitted white supremacist said with Donald Trump's reelection that, hey, ladies, your body, my choice. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. And now they're saying it was a joke, and Republicans saying that's disgusting. No, just own it. At least Nick Fuentes has the guts to say it out loud.
The one good response I saw to that was, if anybody says to me, your body, my choice, I'm going to say, your body, my freezer.
But Instagram is getting increasingly difficult because the stuff that's coming across my Instagram is not things. And then I get upset and I comment, and that's my fault. I know that. I know, but I can't help it. Some of them are so dumb. But I have also joined Blue Sky as well. And it's quieter.
It just feels gentler.
Yeah. It was started by Jack Dorsey, who was started Twitter as a decentralized social media platform. He wanted to connect all of them in some way to allow all of the social media networks to exist on their own. But then Blue Sky would be like the connective tissue, I guess. I don't think it's really done that, but it's still a nice Threads. Good.
I tried Threads for a couple of days and I didn't like it.
I mean, honestly, at this point with those social media websites, I just go on there. I start an account. So I am Greg Bach is always taken by me. All of my social media, whether it's Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, I am Greg Bach. But I went to Blue Sky and I just started scrolling. I'm like, it's almost like that, the dawn of America. Little birds chirping around.
Right,
it's, like, it's okay, Greg.
It's like being in a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Compared to Twitter. Calvin, have you started a different social media account?
I have Threads, and I will say I haven't took any time to follow people or curate it, and I don't ever check it. But in the off chance that I did, it's kind of a garbage platform.
Threads. Like,
yeah, it's not good. There's just every single post I see, okay, well, maybe like 4 in every 5 posts I see is a bot post.
Yep.
Or it's just a spam account, like phishing post. So yeah, I'd say maybe Zuck will fix it, but stay away from Threads for now.
I do not think he will. I think he started Threads to poke at Elon, because when Threads happen, that's when that whole Elon's gonna fight Mark Zuckerberg in the ring, and that's gonna be a thing and blah blah blah. And then he started Threads.
Actually, I forgot about that.
Right. And then Threads comes along, and there were all these aspects of the site that you couldn't do versus Twitter, and now it just seems to be there. Like, and it's like, because it's connected to Facebook and Instagram and Threads, you can post on all three. And as Calvin said, same thing here. I check my Threads account maybe once a week. And when I do, and it actually comes through on my Instagram as well, I get bots. And they're just women who are like, hey, I'm single, want to talk? Like, it's not enjoyable. It's just not enjoyable there either.
Is there a male equivalent of that bot? Because they're avoiding me like the plague.
Well,
I'm just curious.
Now that you've said it out loud and your phone is listening to you, enjoy all the men going, hello, Jen, I like to spend sexy time with you.
Are you single?
Are you single, lady?
PJ on the live stream says Reddit is cool. I have never, ever been on Reddit.
I can't do Reddit.
No?
Reddit, no. It is too much. It's, forgive the sentence I'm about to say, but I refer to it as the place the internet went to throw up in. There's so much information there, and it seems impossible to navigate.
Calvin?
I am a big fan of Reddit. It's the front page of the internet, Greg. That's actually one of their I don't know if they still use that tagline, but they used to use that tagline, the front page of the internet.
I knew that, Calvin. You know why? Because you said it like, Greg, it's the front page of the internet.
But yeah, Reddit is, I think it's a really, it's kind of something you have to curate, because it's built on subreddits.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm in like subreddits for like a sci-fi reading subreddit. And then people make posts in that subreddit. And like, you can see it if you're not in the subreddit, but if you're in the subreddit, then it appears on your wall.
And that sounds really confusing, you
guys.
And
if you move up higher, you become a Redditor. It's all about what kind of puns you can do on the word Reddit. Yeah, I will read a Reddit post if it's singularly posted somewhere, but I have never scrolled into Reddit because it just feels like the corn maze that has no end. And I just, it's very,
there's no
very
end to the, no end to the thread.
No end to the thread. The front page keeps going. And I will say this right now, and I know I'm doing this for selfish reasons. I will never leave Twitter because there are celebrities who follow me, and it makes me feel very good about my, myself.
A little ego fluff is always good.
If Missy Elliott followed you on Twitter, you'd stay there too. We'd all stay there. She's amazing. She's a gift.
Andrew texting in, so can I find I Am Greg Bach on MySpace?
No. Unfortunately, my MySpace page is long gone. My top eight is decimated. I think about that often. MySpace, what a wonderful place. I'm starting to sound like a dreamy Donald Trump. MySpace was the best space. It was the greatest place to be friends.
I didn't spend much time on that. I got really heavily invested in Facebook.
Well,
and then in 2019 was when I cut the ties with Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like,
I don't miss it at all.
If you don't need social media, you should cut it out. Like, I have to have social media to a certain extent.
Sure. Well, but, we all do, actually, because of what we do.
Yeah, and I just think that it's funny to me because right now, Calvin, it's safe to say that, like, the most popular social media website for the youngins, the Gen Zs and the Gen Ys, would be TikTok. Am I correct, Calvin?
Yes.
Okay. So to me,
it's more so than any other platform, it's TikTok for the younger folks.
Well, everything is just so, I would say every platform has a place. Well, I guess Facebook, my generation doesn't really use Facebook, but Instagram and TikTok kind of go hand in hand. Like, most people use both because, I don't know, Instagram's just kind of like, well, you post pictures and that kind of thing. And then TikTok's more of like, I don't know. Like, I guess TikTok's more of just like where you go to scroll.
Well, and that's
whereas Instagram's like where you go to like see what your friends are doing.
Instagram has their own version of TikTok, which is Reels. And when I tell people I look at Instagram Reels versus TikTok, people will say to me, it's because you're older. I don't know why that's a thing. I have TikTok. I'm on TikTok. But what I find really funny is that one day Calvin is going to be saying, he'll be in his 30s, just living his life, painting Warhammer figurines, loving it. He'll say to someone younger, be like, hey, are you on TikTok? And then you go, no one's on TikTok anymore. we're on Fresh Skies or blah, something, blah. Yeah, something that's like way cooler.
The newest thing. The new cool kid thing.
All you have to do is jam this microchip in your eye and you're on the internet.
Scott from Shorewood, I'm still waiting for folks to find me on classmates.com.
Oh my God. I get emails from them and LinkedIn all the time. You know who's checking you out? I'm like, nobody.
Oh, that is really funny.
Scott from Shorewood, who made our
mascot.
Our mascot.
I know.
He is here.
He is here. Absolutely. He's in our season with us every single day.
Yep.
Thank we weren't going to leave him behind. We weren't going to leave him behind.
Putt Steliod.
Well, and we would, I'm just curious, have you migrated away from a social media account since the election? You can always check in with us at 855-752-4842. All right, one more break to go. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Volatile Odor Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results. Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can join us. Please call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have news coming up in just a little bit, followed by the one and only and the probably tired Todd Alba doing double duty today. Todd is filling in, filled in this morning for Pat Kreitlow. Yep. And he will be doing Pat's show tomorrow as well from 6 to 8 a.m. And then Todd back at noon today from noon to 2, followed by Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4, and Dominic Salia, 4 to 6 p.m. Don't forget to join Earl Ingram in the morning, starting at 8 o'clock.
Correct.
It is 11:52, Calvin. That means it is time for today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing that should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the BBC. Crystal Hayes, headline reads, mystery solved behind blobs washing ashore in Canada. Canadian officials earlier this autumn started an investigation as photos of white blobs washing up along the Newfoundland coast went viral after being spotted along the shores of Placentia Bay. There was speculation that the substance that some compared to dough, they thought it might have been fungus, mold, or wax. In the end, Memorial University chemistry professor Chris Kozak analyzed it and found it was man-made and some type of synthetic rubber. He ultimately found the blobs aren't toxic and they're safe to handle, though they do carry, quote, a volatile odor.
And because he's English, he said volatile odor.
Odor. O-D-O-U-R.
Yeah, there's a U in there, baby.
Professor Kozak ran a series of tests with graduate students. It was called Project Unknown Glob, which I kind of love just That's in and of itself.
Very English. It's like, what is it? It's an unknown blob. There we go. Glob.
Glob.
That's what you call it.
Project Unknown Glob. But they're not toxic. But apparently they're smelly. He thinks the substance is a PVA composite found in adhesives like glue and some nail polish coatings. They still have no idea where the globs originated. They are concerned that there's a bunch of these now lying across the bottom of the ocean. Because he has come across hundreds and hundreds of globs. Big globs, little globs.
The biggest globs.
The biggest glob, globs. About 15 centimeters wide.
Oh, mother glory.
Professor Kozak's telling the Guardian newspaper substantial amounts of globs might be on the bottom of the Atlantic. And his concern is it could be mistaken by fish for food, which it's not.
There is a lot of newsworthy information here. But it also does feel like it was a slow news day at the BBC.
Let's get on the glob story.
The unknown stinky glob story. Let's do that one. We've been holding that one since 2018.
If only Monty Python were still a group.
Oh.
They could take this glob story to the to the next level.
I just love the idea. Project Stinky Glob or Project Unknown Glob.
Unknown Glob.
I like Project Stinky Glob better.
I want to kind of take a class with this guy because that's pretty funny.
Oh my gosh.
Project Unknown Glob. Globs not toxic, safe to handle, but with a volatile odor. So you are warned if you're on the coast of Newfoundland. Keep your eyes open. Keep your nose open.
Keep your nose open. You'll know it by the smell. Go ahead and touch it, but just don't eat it. Just
wear a mask.
Wear a mask. Oh, Jane's telling people to wear masks again. Oh, no. Oh,
that's for tomorrow. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33 from the recombobulation area. He has written a new column looking back at the election results. And you can find that at the recombobulation area. Highly encourage you to subscribe to that. He is award-winning and really a fantastic writer.
Lots of awards.
Yeah, tons and tons of awards. Dr. Kristen Lierley, our friend, will be here at 11 o'clock. We're going to check in with her. She did not win her bid in the 8th Congressional District, but she's a pretty positive human being. I can't keep that lady down.
No, and there's a social media follow.
Dr. Lierley?
Dr. Lierley, because for someone who just lost a very competitive race, she's like, doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but we're keeping going. We're not going to forward. It's just nothing but the positive energy you've come to know and love of Dr. Kristen Lierley.
Absolutely. So if you need a little pick-me-up, join us tomorrow.
Yep.
Join us tomorrow. Dr. Lierley here at 11:06. And of course, we'll wrap it up again with a tisbet. News is coming up next, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba. Give him some love.
Yeah.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone across Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS.